Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Happy New Year! Amen. I'm excited to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning. If anybody needs a bulletin, you can lift up your hands and one of the ushers will come that has the bulletins in, give you, that has the announcements as well as a place to take notes for the sermon this morning. I'm super excited to have with us today a special guest speaker, one of my mentors, all the way from Illinois, outside of Chicago. Pastor G serves as the legacy pastor of Stone Creek Church, right outside of Chicago. And I first met him probably about 9 years ago. We met in a gathering in Dallas, Texas, a leadership network gathering. And for some reason, Pastor G, I haven't stayed in contact with too many of them pastors other than you, and maybe one or two. So the Lord had something in store, and we're grateful that he's going to come and he's going to share the word. And out of all his accolades, being on the board of North Central University, being in full-time ministry for a trillion years, the most important thing is he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so I want to invite us, let's stand to our feet and welcome Pastor Gary to the pulpit. Let's praise the Lord for him.
God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 8. I want to get right into it today. I come to you dealing hope, not dope. And I come to you to give you the living water, the Word of God. It is 1,000-proof eternal life hangover. Hallelujah. So I recommend Jesus to you today as you are at the end of this year, ready to go into next year. John chapter 8, I want to talk to you about the freedom that Jesus Christ gives us. If you've been around the church world long, this is a very familiar passage of scripture. Love all your pastors, your leadership team. Great to be here at this campus. I remember when you were sending out prayer requests, asking people to pray for this campus, and just a thrill to be on all the campuses today. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we're having a special Holy Spirit rally for those who want to be filled, refilled with the Holy Spirit at 5 o'clock at the Carlson campus. Love your lead pastor. I just wish he would get excited about Jesus. There's too many deadhead pastors around, and I just wish he would get excited about Jesus. So pray for that, would you please? So we're talking about the freedom that Jesus Christ gives, and I want to make this statement that Jesus has come to set you free from your past, your present, and your future. And we know these verses. Again, if you've been around the church world long, you're very familiar with these incredible, profound words of Jesus. Are you there in John chapter 8, verse number 32? And you shall know, gnosko, you shall experientially know, not just intellectually know, not just religiously know. Listen, this is about relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is not Protestant religion. This is not Catholic. This is not some other religion. This is all about having a relationship with the creator of the universe through Jesus Christ. You shall know the truth. You shall experience the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Verse 36, therefore, if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. You will really be free, Jesus said. My question is, free from what? What is it that Jesus makes us free from? Well, praise God, he delivers us from the penalty of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He also delivers us not just from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. Read Romans chapter 6. Read Romans chapter 7. And you will discover Paul saying that Jesus has set us free from the power of sin. Some people say, well, I gave my life to Jesus, but my flesh is so strong. Yes, And that's why he sent us the Holy Spirit, so that we can keep in step with the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, so that we can walk in the Spirit. We can be led by the Spirit. We don't have to be slaves to our flesh. There's a lot of people who have education, they have wealth, they have properties, they have a lot of stuff, but they are merely slaves to their flesh. They are merely slaves to this culture. I want to be a slave to Jesus. I want to be a bond slave to Jesus. How about you? I want to serve Jesus with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength all the days of my life. Jesus sets us free from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. And someday, when you go to heaven, if Jesus comes back before then and takes us up with him, he'll deliver us from the very presence of sin. Hallelujah. I'm here to proclaim that Jesus has come, according to these verses, to make a difference in our past, to make a difference in our presence, and to make a difference in our future. Jesus has come to change our past, to make a difference in your present, and he came to make a difference in your future. First, Jesus has come to set you free from the pain of your past, from the pain of yesterday. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have been stuck in the past? I have. People have hurt you. You've disappointed yourself, and you've disappointed those that you've loved the most because of decisions that you've made. We hold on to hurts. We react to things that people have done to us, things that people have said about us. I've worked with people my entire young adult and adult life. You know, he didn't introduce me as Papa G this time, and that's what all the young pastors call me. And I was in a pastor's meeting teaching, and so I did Q&A, and one young pastor said, "Papa G, how'd you get the nickname Papa G?" I said, "Real easy, I got old, that's it." All you got to do is serve Jesus, and there's a certain amount of wisdom that will come just from serving him day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. And Proverbs 24:3-4 says, "Through wisdom a house is built, through understanding it is established, and through knowledge it is filled with precious riches." The greatest anointing that Jesus Christ had was wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing what to do next and then doing it. In James chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus had prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple. And Pastor James, who was leading the Jerusalem church, people were coming to him, just like people come to pastors today and say, "Should we buy? Should we sell? Should we lease? What should we do? Should we look for employment somewhere else?" And James says, "I'm not going to tell you what kind of music to listen to. I'm not going to tell you what kind of house to buy. I'm not going to get involved in that kind of cultish leadership. But what I'm going to tell you to do is to ask God for wisdom." James chapter 1, verse 5. "If any person lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and he will not withhold from you." Hallelujah. In working with people my whole life, I've discovered there's basically two things that people have a hard time getting over, and it's resentment and regret. Resentment over the way people have hurt them, and regret over the way they've hurt themselves and other people. And the good news today that we are proclaiming in this wonderful place is that this is why Jesus came, to set us free from both of those things. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 43:18-19, the Lord says, "Do not remember the former things. Forget about what happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new thing I am going to do." People say, "I'd really like to do that. I'd like to stop living in the past. I'd like to stop thinking about what they said to me and how they slandered me and gossiped about me and how they lied and took from me and how they tried to ruin my character and my reputation. I'd really like to not remember those former things, but they hurt me so deeply. It still hurts so bad, and I just can't forget what they did to me, and I just cannot let it go." And you're right. On your own, you do not have the capability or the ability to let it go. You need the supernatural power of God. You need the supernatural love of God. You need the supernatural grace of God. You need a force beyond yourself. Not self-help, not psychology. We're not against any of those things. But you need something and someone bigger than you. And that's why Jesus came. That's why we anoint with oil. That's why we pray for people. That's why we study and we live in the Word of God. Humanly impossible to forget the past. Here's a picture of Corrie Ten Boom on your screen. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. The Billy Graham Organization made it into a movie. It's an old movie. You can look at it and you can probably buy the book somewhere for a buck. Her parents were Jewish sympathizers during World War II in the Netherlands. And they actually built extra rooms in their house. Let's say that their living room was this big. They would build a wall right here, and they would diminish the size of their living room so they could hide Jewish people who were fleeing the Nazi Holocaust. They were trying to kill all the Jews literally on the planet, certainly in Europe. They killed over 6 million of them. I've been to Auschwitz. I've been to some of the other concentration camps in Poland. And the way they organized the extermination of human beings, figured out engineering-wise how they could get rid of human beings so many per minute, per hour, per day, per week. I was going to dictate my thoughts, take pictures, perhaps journal on it, and I came out of there literally with a headache and sick at my stomach. And some of you perhaps have relatives who survived the Holocaust or somebody you've talked to from that era of this world's dark history. The Nazis discovered what her family was doing there in the Netherlands, shipped the mom and dad off to a concentration camp somewhere in Europe on one train, and shipped Corrie and her sister on another train to a Polish concentration camp. And if you've ever studied any of this, if you've ever looked at it, you know how in those women concentration camps, the soldiers would so degrade those women. This is an adult meeting. I don't know, maybe you want to put your hands over the ears of your children, but they would have the women stripped publicly naked, and the men would take the best looking of the women and abuse them and put them in a special place for their own pleasure. Corrie's sister was a very good looking woman, and she didn't survive hardly a year. She died from all of the abuse. There was one particular German guard, a great big man, and he was very degrading to these women in this concentration camp. Very foul mouth, just evil, evil. Corrie, through a miraculous set of circumstances, was released from the concentration camp. You can read it. You can see it in the movie, The Hiding Place. Used to travel with Billy Graham. I got to hear her my freshman year in college. Little, short, late Dutch lady with a thick Dutch accent with the square-toed shoes in the front comes walking out. Those real thick hose, you know what I mean, ladies? You know what I mean? To cover up the virgin. No, anyhow, those real thick hose. And she come. Listen, when they introduced her and she walked out on stage there at the University of Minnesota, the presence of God came into that auditorium. There was a hush. There was a brokenness. As she began to tell her story, and part of her story was after she got miraculously released from this concentration camp and the war was over, she began to preach a message of forgiveness all over the world, began to travel with Billy Graham. But in those first few years, she was traveling throughout Germany and that part of Europe, and she was preaching this message of forgiveness, this message of moving on with life and not getting stuck. And this is what Jesus helps us do. And she noticed in that little Lutheran church in northern Germany, a big man sitting in the back, and he would never make eye contact with her as she preached the Word of God. And she invited people forward, prayed with people. People came to Christ. People found relief. People walked in the Word of God and discovered that Jesus really does help us get over the pain of our past. All of a sudden, that big German man came up and stood in front of her, big tall man looking down on that little Dutch lady. And with tears coming out of his eyes, he said, "Corrie, do you think Jesus could do this for me?" And in a nanosecond, she realized that was the most foul of all the guards that she came across in that concentration camp, who had abused her, who had abused hundreds of women, who had abused her own sister. She hated him with everything that a human being can hate another human being with. And then she said, "Oh, Jesus, help me." And in another nanosecond, all of a sudden, the love of God flooded her heart, and they embraced and fell to their knees, and he received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus does. That's why we need his supernatural power. We need his supernatural love in our heart. We'll never get free from our past until God's really working in our life. Where is God when you're hurt? He's close to you. But you got to be plugged in. He's not distant. You have to be plugged in. I know hurt and pain. I was sexually abused at age 5. I was raised poor. My father was 28 and a half years older than my mother. My father married a woman. My mother married a man who was the same age as her own father. And as he had strokes, we cared for him at home in a hospital bed. And because in those days there was no money to put people in nursing homes. There was no government assistance. And you grow up real fast as a junior high and as a young high school student when you have to shave and spoon feed your father and bathe them and change their diapers. And I never had an indoor bathroom till I was a senior in high school. Do you know what an outhouse is? Where I live, it's cold in the wintertime, and you wait to go at grandma's house, especially when you got to do your business. And we were poor. We weren't poor. Poor is two O's. When you got plastic on one side of your windows in the Midwest to keep the cold out, you're poor. When you got plastic on both sides of your windows, you're poor. We were poor. We had a potbelly stove. That's more than a restaurant, let me tell you. We had that old linoleum. Some of you know what I'm talking about, that always warped. It didn't matter if it was cold or hot. We didn't even have running water till I was a junior in high school. I know pain. I know difficulty. But I'm not going to live there. There are a lot of people, they feel like Humpty Dumpty. Nothing could ever put them back together again. But friend, you are wrong. The gospel that we proclaim in this church is the gospel that says God specializes in freedom. Real freedom. He delivers us from the pain of our past. Hallelujah, Jesus. Second, Jesus also wants to set you free from the pressures of today. What I know about pressure, I was a youth pastor of a large church in central Illinois. I was a state youth and college leader for 318 churches, about 1,000 ministers, did the Chicago outreach for 10 years with David Wilkerson. Had 2 guns, 3 knives pulled on me. One guy stuck me right here, and I had a few stitches, and out of reflex, I just poked him in the name of Jesus. I shouldn't have done that. It was just an instinct. I don't know. And I must have hit him just right because it knocked him out cold. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, don't let him die. I need to get him to say the sinner's prayer first. And then I took a little church, what we call a burnover field. Less than 50 people. And it grew to about 2,000 people. And the trouble with the bigger the family, the bigger the promotion you get in life and in work, you know what it adds? It adds pressure and stress. And what I know about pressure and stress is this. When it's on, you need strength and stability. When the pressure's on, you get a bad report from the doctor, the C word, the cancer. You don't have enough finances coming in to pay your bills, and all of a sudden you're tempted to go back to dealing stuff you shouldn't be dealing. You're picking up something you shouldn't be picking up. When the pressure's on financially, relationally, whatever, academically, you got to have strength and stability, stability and strength. And God says, I want to give both of those to you. Here's what it says in Isaiah 40, 28 and 29. God never grows faint or weary. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He gives power to the weak and increases strength is what it says. When you're worn out, this is what Jesus does. He sets us free from the pressures of today. You know why so many Americans and people in the Western world are worn out and tired all the time? It's really simple. is because they're trying to live life without being connected to their creator. Animals were not created to be connected to their creator. Plants were not created to be connected to their creator. But you were created, the highest of God's creation. You were created to be in relationship with God. God never intended you to go through life, to go through relationships, to go through physical and emotional and all of the stuff that life dishes us out on your own. You were created that you might be in relationship with Him. When I first got a laptop, it was an HP. Then I got saved. And now I've moved up to a Mac. Trouble was, we had a vice president of Hewlett Packard in our church. He got mad and left the church. Oh, well. Whatever. When I first got my first laptop, I'm working on it. It kept shutting down. I'd reboot, kept shutting down. And, you know, I looked at the cord. It was plugged in to that invisible force called electricity that makes all of our appliances and everything and machines work, right? And all of a sudden, my wife, thank God for wives who have a lot of common sense. And Jesus and my wife, Bonnie, right there together. Right there. And she picks up the cord. It was plugged into the wall, but it wasn't plugged into the laptop. And that's exactly the way life is. Life can drain your battery. Relationships, a boss who just is just mean and punitive and doesn't care and doesn't care about employees. And life can just drain you. You can just be living your life, minding your own business, trying to be a good person, but life and culture and all these pressures of the world, they can literally drain you. But Jesus came that you might know the truth and that the truth might make you free. Jesus came so that you can be set free from the pressures of today. You can handle anything with Jesus. One more thing. Jesus said, I've come that you may know the truth, that the truth might make you free, and you can be free indeed. Jesus wants to set you free, excuse me, from being pessimistic, negative about tomorrow. Ooh, boy, do you listen to news? I hope not too much. You listen to talk radio? Do you read people's blogs? People say, well, you've been around a while. Is the division in America bigger? Well, we really thought there was going to be a civil war in the 1960s in America. And I'm not minimizing the violence in our culture. The difference is now our violence is right here. It's viral. And we can assassinate people's character and reputations that they've tried to create in a whole lifetime just in a day or two of media blitz. But I grew up when we were having the Student Democratic Society, Sandy Patty and Jerry Rubin, whose goal was to overthrow the U.S. government and legalize marijuana. They kind of missed the marijuana thing, didn't they? And I went with a college group to witness to about 10,000 people at the Capitol building in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I mean, a riot broke out. People were killed. Cars were turned over. Maltese cocktails. Store windows were broken. And we were a bunch of Bible school students, this little innocent kid from Iowa in a little town in Iowa. We taught them all, hey, now look, when the police arrest you in a group like this, they arrest a whole bunch of people. So if you see a fight or a scuffle or something going on, you got to get away. Well, this guy didn't listen to us. He ended up spending his first and only night in jail. It was great. He's got a testimony now. The Democratic Convention in Chicago, where over 70 people were killed. Let me tell you. America is violent, but as far as I'm concerned, it's not as violent as it was in the 60s. But we are divided. But you and I have the answer to the division. I'm all for social reform. I'm all for laws of equality. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is what brings people together. We love one another, red and yellow, black and white. We are all precious in His sight. Nobody's better than anybody else. Jesus is holy. He's the King. He's the Lord. He's the Supreme One. We are the servants and He is the Master. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm preaching this way. Somebody needs it. I just blame it on the Holy Ghost. It's not the Democrats or the Republicans or the Libertines or anybody else that's going to save America. You know, people always say to me, Papa G, what does Chicago need? Chicago needs two things, Jesus and jobs. It's that simple. Jesus makes the difference. Jesus bridges the gap. Jesus builds bridges and not walls. He brings people together. That's what Jesus does. That's why I like Chapel of Change. I almost said Hope of Change because I'm a hope dealer. But Chapel of Change. People become pessimistic when they don't know the purpose for which God made them. People get discouraged over so many things. They get discouraged about personal issues. They face situations that need to be changed, but they just don't seem to change. And people get negative and pessimistic because they don't know the purpose for which God made them. And the Bible's clear that we were all created for a purpose, for a reason. And yet people go through life without discovering a relationship with God or discovering the purpose for which God made them. And God didn't create you just for a job. God created you that you might glorify Him and bless your fellow human family. People wonder what God thinks of them. The prophet Jeremiah made it clear what God thinks about us. I know what I'm planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you a hope and a good future. That's what God's thinking about. He's thinking about the plans He has for you, good plans, plans filled with hope. And we all have to have hope to cope. You can live 40 days without food. You can live about 3 or 8 days without water. You can live just a few minutes without oxygen. You can live 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but we cannot live 1 second without hope. And the moment we lose our hope, we're no longer living. We're just existing. Jesus said, I've come that you might experience the truth. You might come into relationship with me so that you could be free, that your freedom could be real, regardless of what's happening at work, in your health, in your relationships, in your culture, regardless of how divided it may be. I have come to set you free from being so pessimistic and negative about the future. We're living in this time of rapid change. Everything seems to be up in the air. We need some islands of stability, some things that never change in our lives, some emotional relationships and spiritual anchors that hold us down when the world just seems to be crazy and flying apart. You know how crazy the world is? If you take a plastic water gun to school, you're going to get a federal crime against you. Now, I actually grew up in a small town where everybody hunted and fished. And on Fridays, I used to take my shotgun and my duffel bag full of hunting clothes. And the principal and the vice principal would meet us at the entrance to the school. Hey, Gary, you going hunting with Kevin this weekend? Yeah, well, you know, don't take your gun out of the case. Just put it in the locker. I said, sure, no problem. I never think of shooting somebody. And one of my teachers would say, you got one of those Ethica 16-gauge feather lights? I'm like, yeah, let's go get it and look at it in the teacher's lounge. Which they all smoked in the teacher's lounge. So one time I got to cross into the teacher's lounge and explain to one of my teachers all about this cool gun. And then we'd go out and put it back in the locker. And then I'd walk out. And the principal and the vice principal would say, hey, glad you had a good day today. Have fun this weekend at Kevin's house. And I'd get on the bus. And I put my duffel bag full of hunting clothes and my shotgun in a case in the corner. And the bus driver, Mrs. Green, would say, well, now, Gary, just put it there. And I'd say, of course. It doesn't matter what happens to our culture. The truth is, do you think culture's going to get better before the end of the age? I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. People say, oh, you live in Illinois. You don't even have a budget in your state house. 300,000 people a year are leaving the state of Illinois. We've gone from the fifth largest state now to the sixth largest state. And our tax is almost as bad as your tax. Our gas is a little cheaper. Thank you, Jesus. I lived out here, I'd have to have a squirrel or something, I'm telling you. Man, I put $100 worth of gas in my... Anyhow. The darker the night, the brighter the light. I've come that you may know the truth. Think of who John wrote this to. He wrote it to believers who were being persecuted by the Roman government, fed to lions. They were being boiled alive. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We've got to have spiritual anchors. We've got to have a real relationship with God. Psalms 125, verse 1, the Living Bible. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, the largest mountain in that Jerusalem area. Look at this in the Living Bible. Unmoved by what? Any circumstance. We can make it because of Jesus. Because He is our foundation. He is our rock. He is the one who sets us free from the pain of our past. This is what I know Jesus has for us in 2020. He has plenty. The woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of His garment, and it never depleted Him. After preaching 5 services today and driving back to Chula Vista, I'm going to be depleted. Thank God for Starbucks. Hallelujah. Thank God for Power Bars. 20 grams of protein. But the Jesus that we serve, you can come to Him day after day. You can come to Him with any need you have, any broken relationship with you you have. You can touch the hem of His garment, and His strength, His virtue, His anointing, His power is never, ever depleted. I've been in the underground church in China. I went and lectured in an educational college on life skills. I could answer any question they ask. And people would say, how can you be a teacher and still believe in God, because they're taught atheism? And so I just explained to them, begin at creation and just explain to them the gospel story. I was ushered at night, lay down in the back with a blanket out into the in the central province of China, and up by Chengdu, and to the underground church. And we went to this house, and beautiful, wonderful food, all fresh. It was great. And I don't know, there were 30 or 40 pastors there. And there were 2 bishops, a husband and a wife. The husband bishop oversaw about 200 churches. The wife bishop oversaw about 100 churches. And they wanted me to teach them. Well, I like to ask people questions. And I began to ask them questions. You're the underground church. And you're not in the part of China where they, the 3 church movement, where they allow you to have a church and meet and all that. And you're underground in your province. It would be like different states in America, certain governors putting restrictions on Christian faith. That's the way China is. It's not blanket the same all over. I began to interview them. I'd say, have you ever been put in jail for your faith? Every single pastor, I interviewed every single pastor, every single one of them, woman and man, had been put in jail for their faith, for doing what we're doing right now, coming to church to worship, to hear instruction from the Word of God, for having a Bible. And we're mature. This is adults. If you have a child in here, you may. The man bishop was put in prison. They broke his arm severely, would not let him get medical attention. And when it healed, it was all deformed, and it was terrible. His wife, by 4 prison guards, was raped 8 times in front of him. And all these people were so full of joy and truth and power and life and energy of the Spirit. I'm crying as I'm hearing story after story of people losing jobs and having their little shacks, homes burnt down. And I was in a very rural part of China. And I'm like, how can you do this? And every one of them said, when we give our lives to Jesus, we know it will cost us. It may cost us our health, our jobs. It may cost us our character, our reputation, our livelihood. But He is worthy. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And He gives us freedom that we never had before. That's what Jesus does. We used to sing an old song. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Out of sin and bondage, Jesus set me free. From the pain of my past, from the pressures of today, and from being so pessimistic about the future. Would you bow your heads, please, and let's pray. Holy, holy God, what makes Chapel of Change different than other churches in this area? It's your presence right now. We want functional buildings. We want all the good stuff. We want the worship and all that stuff. But none of that can change a person's heart. It has to be your presence. And you are here. Your presence is here, Jesus, to set people free from the pain of their past. People who have hurt them, robbed from them, taken from them, maligned them, ridiculed them, gossiped and slandered and tried to destroy their very character and lives. You've come to set us free from personal regrets of wrong decisions and wrong things we've done, and we've hurt ourselves and we've hurt others. You came to set us free and give us real freedom from that. You've come to set us free from the pressures of today and give us strength and stability. And there's people here, and they've received a bad report. The loss of their job is imminent, and they don't know how they're going to make it. And Jesus, certainly if anybody ought to be positive and optimistic, it ought to be your people. Every time we turn on the news, we look at a newspaper, we read a blog on our phones, it's just bad information coming second after second, minute after minute, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month. The division that's in our country. But Jesus, our anchor is in you, because you are the way, the truth, the life. You're the one that came to give us freedom, real freedom from being so negative and pessimistic about the future. Our future is bright in you. Jesus, we love you. We're sitting here in the presence of the awesome presence of God. Thank you for knowing how to be in the presence of God. You're here today. Perhaps this is your first time to come, or you're just new here in the last few weeks or months. And you have, as of yet, to make a commitment to Jesus. You believe, but you need to make a commitment. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. You're here today to hear this simple gospel message. And there's pain in your past. Come on, let's be honest. There's some resentment. There's some regret. And Jesus says to you, this is why I came. To set you free from that, so you don't have to live in the past. You don't have to live in the past. You may never forget what happened to you, but by His grace, He will help you to live with what happened to you, what you did to yourself, what you did to others, what others did to you. If that's you right now, if you're brand new, you've only been coming a little bit, or you're one of the leaders here, you'll just humble yourself and stand to your feet for prayer right now. Right now, I need Jesus to set me free from the pain of my past. I'm going to stand up. Just stay standing right there. I'm going to stand up right now. I need Jesus to set me free from the pain of my past. Just stand to your feet right now. You know that's you. There's pain. There's pain. There's resentment. There's regret. Just stand to your feet. I need Jesus to set me free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. You're under pressure right now. The pressure is on. Some bad financial report, some relationship that went south, some medical report, and the pressure's on, and you need some strength and stability from Jesus, the truth, today. You say, preacher, that's me. You need Jesus to set you free from the pressures of today. You need that strength and stability. If that's you, come on, stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet right now, just real quick, without waiting on anybody else, without looking around anybody else. I don't care if you're the youngest person here or the oldest person here. I don't care if you're a woman or a man. I don't care if you're a first-time visitor or a long-term member. You need Jesus to set you free from the pressures of today. Stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're here today. And this is not you, but you've just found yourself being so negative because of the culture in which you live. And you just know this is not you. This is not the way God made you. You used to be positive. You used to see all the things that God was doing. But now, because of what's going on in our government, because of the political divide, the racial divide, because of the despairing gap between the rich and the poor and all of that, you've actually become a pessimistic, negative person. And I'm declaring to you the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, that He came to set you free from being so negative and pessimistic about the future. You have hope. It is a blessed hope. He will take care of you. Yes, we do suffer, just like our brothers and sisters in China, but He will take care of you, and you need Jesus to set you free from being so pessimistic about the future, so negative. If that's you, just stand right now. Right now, we're going to pray. Just remain standing. Jesus, I need you to set me free from the pain of my past, the pain of yesterday. I need you to set me free from the pressures of today, and I need you to set me free from being so pessimistic about tomorrow. I cannot close this appeal because I feel like there's somebody that needs to humble themselves and just simply stand to your feet and ask for prayer. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. We're going to wait just a moment longer. You need Jesus to set you free. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody just sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Just sing, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Jesus. You're in the setting free business, Jesus. We don't have to be bound to this world. We don't have to be bound to the flesh. We don't have to be bound to some habit, some negative way of thinking, some toxic relationship. You came to set us free, Jesus. Everybody sing hallelujah. Oh, lift your hands, lift your head and sing hallelujah. Just make up a tune. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, you set us free. You set us free. I want to be free. Tell the Lord you want to be free. Lord, I want to be free. I don't want to be bound by the things of this earth. I don't want to be a slave to my flesh. I want to be free in you, Jesus. I don't want to be bound by religion. I want to be free in you, Jesus. Tell the Lord you want to be free. Come on, tell Him. Some of you are free on the outside, but you're in prison on the inside. He wants to heal your hurt, heal your emotions, heal your inhibitions, heal your repression, heal your anxiety. Jesus, do what only you can do. We thank you for doctors. We thank you for counselors. We thank you for all the professional industries. But Jesus, do what only you can do and what man cannot do. We ask you to do it. We ask you right now supernaturally to touch people in their heart, their spirit, their mind, their soul, in their innermost being. Do that deep work of the Spirit in the wellspring of their heart, Jesus. In the wellspring of their heart, do that deep work of the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If somebody's standing around you, would you stand up and lay your hand on them and pray for them? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, Jesus. We pray for your freedom. Lord, you saw the people that humbled themselves and they stood up today. And you're attracted to humility. You reject pride, but you're attracted to humility. I pray for you, my brother and sister. I pray that Jesus would help you to overcome any resentment and regret. I pray that Jesus Christ would deliver you from any sense of insecurity, any sense of fear, any sense of inadequacy, any sense of intimidation. Jesus Christ would set you free. The key to a healthy self-esteem is a healthy Christ esteem. You are complete in Him, the Apostle Paul told the church at Colossae. Everything you need for life and godliness is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus, my confidence is in you, my trust is in you, my faith is in you, my hope is in you. Set your people free from the bondage of the past. Set your people free from the pressures of today. I pray that you would have the strength you need to go on. You're a single mom, and you're just like, I don't know how I can do it. My family lives so far away. Relationships are strained. I don't get the help that other single moms get. I pray that Almighty God would infuse you with strength, Mama. God would infuse you with strength, and you would raise those children to love God and to serve God, and they would have a good spirit and not a bad spirit. Jesus, we thank you for setting us free from being so pessimistic about tomorrow. Hallelujah. Could we just all stand to our feet and lift our hands and sing one more time? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We receive from you, Lord. We thank you for Chapel of Change. We thank you, Lord, that you bring about the change that we need. That's the promise you've given us. We receive that change, Lord. Bless Chapel of Change. Bless this campus. Lord, give us more souls. Give us more tithers and givers, more leaders, more faithful people, Lord. We love you so much. We love you. Praise the Lord. Give somebody a hug and you may be seated.
Amen. Let's praise the Lord, somebody. Let's praise the Lord. Make some noise. Amen. You may be seated in the